This may go down as the worst homecoming sermon ever. I don't know. It may. Because this is not what I had planned. It's not. Somewhere here, right here. You come after church and get you what was supposed to be the message. I preached this in 2007. Front and back, it's a really good sermon on the prodigal son. Really good. Now, I'm not saying it's really good because I crafted it, because I used a fellow that I have, you know, we lovingly provide books for those that are going through a grieving period called When Life Is Changed Forever by Losing Someone Near. The second book to that that we give out, in other words, we give out as many of these second books, second only to that one, is Reach My Prodigal by Phil Waldrop. And this message is heavily influenced by that book. We will gladly provide that book for you also. If you have a prodigal that was once with the Lord and they're not any longer, and you want to see, did I do something wrong? What do I do now? Excellent book. Excellent book. We will provide that for you. But this message is based on that. And if you come and get one of these and you want all the blanks filled in, I'll be glad to provide that for you. But yesterday morning, we were challenged Friday evening to spend time in the Word. How many times on a Sunday morning do I challenge you, get your nose in the book? If you're like me, even though we know to do that, we've been challenged regularly to do that, it still takes effort and discipline to do it. Can I get a witness? It takes effort and discipline to do it. So, Saturday morning, I couldn't sleep, so I get up, make me some coffee, and I'm just sitting with the Lord's Word. And I felt led to go to Matthew chapter 5, and I just started trying to pull principles, if you will, concepts out of one verse in the Beatitudes. This is what I want to lovingly challenge you, second service, this week. We challenged first service to go win the lost. Well, you need to win the lost too. There's no doubt. And you can watch that, I'm sure, online. But my loving challenge to you today is to learn how to be poor in spirit. And perhaps not even just you and I poring over this particular verse, but watch this. Realizing that if we have made it to this station of life, guys, if we're not careful, we're pretty rough on ourselves. Oh, you dumb idiot. I don't know about you, but I call myself that almost every day, all day. Dumb idiot. You know, I bonked my head on my tractor the other day because I had the thing that's supposed to stand straight up. I had it cocked down, and I was working on something, and I raised up hard and gave myself a concussion. Dumb idiot. You know, well, that's okay. That's all right. But you need to give yourself some credit that you've made it as far as you've made it. Now, watch this. The scripture is extremely clear. The Holy Spirit is what, I'm not going to say all, the Holy Spirit is what you need to discern the Word of God. Now, He will many times lead you to other writers and other speakers and the such. He uses all of those, and I encourage you to do that. But you and Him can figure out God's Word. You know why? He's the author. You want to know what a book is about? Go sit down with the author. Well, you've got the author living inside of you. And so I want to encourage you, do not sell yourself short. If you feel and sense that the Holy Spirit is wanting you to dive into a particular passage, just sit down and ask yourself these two questions. What does it say? What's it saying? And then question number two, what is it saying about what it's saying? That will lead you into an understanding of that passage. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What do you think that would do to you if you saw God every morning in your Bible time? Listen to that again. Blessed are the pure in heart. That means single-minded, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Change us to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, we are ordaining Benjamin this afternoon, and so I have been peppering Benjamin with all sorts of questions, trying to prepare him for, you know, it's been my experience, for sure, the ordinations that we've had here, that it's never vindictive, it's never, we're not trying to prove what you don't know. And I've never been to an ordination like that. I've heard about a few. And so I always try to lean my influence to that presbytery before we get out there and make sure that they know we're not here for that. We're not here to embarrass the person being ordained. We're not here to try to find out what they don't know. That should have already taken place, type thing. There's a place for that. And I will say that as churches, if we're not careful, we can lay our hands on someone too early. And that's wrong. With that said, I've been just trying to prepare Benjamin, not knowing who's going to show up for the presbytery, just been trying to prepare him for questions that may come. For instance, so Benjamin, you're not married. The Bible says that pastor and overseer should be the husband of one wife. Where's your wife? That's a legit question that could be asked. I don't think the ordination is the time or place for that. But I'm just telling you. So I wanted him to have that thought through, you know. And right now my memory's not serving me of the other questions that are out there. Bradley always jokes about the hypostatic union. And if you're like me, you don't know what that is. But that is a thing within theological circles and stuff. So there, hopefully anybody that brings up those type of questions today, it'll be tongue-in-cheek and just to get a little laugh and such. But please pray for Benjamin. So after I'd had my quiet time, what I'm fixing to share with you, Benjamin comes in. And I just thought I'd put my little thing to the test here. So Benjamin, I'm just curious if we, as Christian people, if we trust ourselves to look at God's Word with the Holy Spirit and just determine for ourselves what this passage is trying to say. So I just asked him, what do you think are the benefits from being poor in the Spirit? Well, I got 15 questions. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, and I mean, it just kind of went from there. And he didn't do what I asked him to do. Just tell me what you think are the benefits from being poor in spirit. Now, in fairness, we need to know what that means, because we don't live 2,000 years previous. We don't have the advantage of the cultural customs of Jesus' day. Being poor in spirit may mean something totally different in 2021 than it did in Jesus' day. Jesus was telling this crowd of lost people that believed they were going to heaven if they had the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, and the people that would beat on their chest and say, I'm so glad I'm better than that person. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And here's the word, bankrupt. Church, there is nothing in you to commend you to God. You and I, without Christ, are hopelessly lost. You and I, without the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are fit for hell. We don't deserve heaven. We would be out of place in heaven. Heaven would not be heaven for us if we never went by the cross. But when you go to the cross and you stand there, if you will, and obviously I'm talking figuratively, and you see the bleeding, dying form of Christ dying for yours and my sin, and you see the wickedness, the vileness of your unrighteous acts, compare that to the righteousness of Christ on the cross for those sins, all of a sudden you realize there's nothing inside of me that will commend me to God. Bankrupt. Blessed are the bankrupt in spirit. Because watch this, now God's got something to work with. He's got an empty, blank check. Because you and I don't bring anything to the bank. He's got it all. And so when you and I realize that it is all dependent upon him, now he can go to work. So what are the benefits? And folks, this may be your favorite sermon because we're almost done. Here are the benefits of bankruptcy. In spirit, total dependence upon God. Total dependence upon God. I'm not telling you that we should not be confident in the giftedness and the skills that God has given us. We should, but we should understand completely and totally where they came from. And before we enter into whatever that is, our work, our home, whatever, And we use the giftedness that God has given us, we should declare, God, I know that this is all because of you. And God, if you don't show up, nothing of eternal benefit is going to happen. I'm begging you. I am totally dependent upon you. Number two, no bastions of pride left. What in the world is a bastion, Connor? You know what a bastion is? Yeah. Place. No place of pride left. No crooks or crannies left in your life where I did that. No. God, you and you alone are my only reason for being able to go to heaven. You and you alone are my only reason of being able to do anything of heavenly worth here on this planet. No bastions of pride left. Well, Lord, you're lucky to have me on your team. No. No. You are blessed to have God make you fit for his team. Number three, a complete outlook for help. Well, boys, we're going to have a pretty tough go here, so we're going to have to really look inside and dig deep and pull it out. No, no, no. If anything of eternal value is going to happen as a result of this church, it's going to all be because of Jesus Christ. A complete outlook for help. Lord, if you don't show up, it's just not going to happen. Lord, if you don't lead us, we're not going to know where to go. Lord, if you don't protect us, we're not going to be able to get there. A complete outlook for help. No struggle. This is number five. One, two, three. No, this is number four. Y'all know my math. No struggle for attention. Now, y'all have been with me, as David pointed out, y'all have been with me for 24 years as pastor. Some of you have been with me for 8 years before that, technically 10, because I was gone for 2 years. And if you've been watching, you know that Brother Ben, hey, I don't mind the limelight. I don't mind being the center of attention. That's okay. If it is for the purpose of what we've already talked about, pulling the cords so that the curtains can reveal Jesus, but if you're like me, if you're not careful, it can become prideful. It can become a sin. It can become, look at me. Watch this, church. When you and I become poor in spirit, Lord, if I get an opportunity to take the praise, I am going to hold up the mirror of your cross. And I'm going to show anyone and everyone that it's because of Jesus and Jesus alone. So 24 years into this, 22 years ago, we had went from 80 to 200 right there, 3 or 4 feet in front of that back door. Me and a person were having a discussion. And this person was talking about the success that I had brought to this church. And can I tell you that this preacher knew that God had squeezed into this building. And he had lovingly put his finger in my chest and said, "You better not take any credit for what I have done." Hallelujah. And we sat there and had an argument. And if I told the name, every one of you would know this person. It's a wonderful person. But she was trying to give me accolades for something that God and God alone had done. In church, God takes that seriously. He sent his son on the cross. You and I can't take any credit for that. All the attention belongs to him. And the same is true in every person's life here. The runners, God gave you those legs. God gave you the coordination. You artists, God gave you the hand-eye coordination, the creativity, and we could go right down the line. So, I believe that as you and I seek the Word of God this week, and we say, "Lord, you've given me a certain level of acumen and academic prowess. Help me to dive into this passage. Show me what are the benefits of what this passage is." I believe God will speak to you. And specifically, I'm asking you this week to be poor in spirit. Let's stay humble. I believe with all my heart that those three situations that I had with those beautiful children of God, it was a part of what this is all about today. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. We'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you're here today and you just want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar, whatever the case.